From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. A Metlakatla woman is in custody on murder charges after police say she killed her 3-year-old son and her adult brother by driving into them after an alcohol-fueled party. 27-year-old Alicia Henderson faces 7 counts, including second-degree murder and manslaughter. She was arrested Tuesday on a warrant in Metlakatla, where she had been visiting from her current home in Palmer. The charges stem from an April 22nd party, where local police say Henderson was drinking with several others. Her young son, the boy's father, and other adult relatives were also there. Around 1:30 a.m., the boy, his father, and Henderson's brother were reportedly walking home from the party when Henderson allegedly drove a white Nissan Pathfinder SUV into the three of them. Police say surveillance video from a nearby school shows the Pathfinder turning its lights off and accelerating before impact. Henderson's brother, 24-year-old James Henderson, was taken to a local clinic and pronounced dead. The boy died the following evening after he was medevaced to Anchorage for his injuries. The boy's father was also wounded but survived. Henderson initially denied being behind the wheel, but later admitted to thinking she had hit a car instead, according to a recorded phone call monitored by Alaska State Troopers. Henderson was convicted of a DUI in March of last year. About a decade ago, she was convicted of a misdemeanor assault charge. Henderson's bail has been set at $250,000. Her first court appearance was scheduled for 1 p.m. Wednesday. Expert witnesses testified in court Wednesday that traditional tribal values are ingrained in Southeast Native culture. They were testifying in a trial to determine if it is constitutional to display traditional tribal values in Ketchikan schools. Cultural anthropologists and professors took the stand to answer questions about what the values mean to Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people. KRBD's Reagan Miller was in court and has this story.
A trial has been ongoing in Ketchikan to determine if displaying the 14 traditional tribal values developed by area culture leaders violates the First Amendment. About a third of Ketchikan students are Alaska Native. Stephen Langdon is a professor of cultural anthropology. He testified that the values all hinge around the idea of respect.
Well, what's critically important is that people have to learn to live together, and by understanding others, it's much more successful.
The idea of reverence for our Creator is what plaintiffs Justin Brees and Rebecca King say violates the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. They say that hanging the posters in school common areas without context or a lesson is endorsing the values. They also take issue with how the values are used in a behavior reward program at Ketchikan Charter School. Langdon said there isn't a religion or a specific deity worshipped by Tlingit, Haida, or Tsimshian people. He told several traditional stories from clans around the region to emphasize how the values are integral in the Native way of life. He referenced stories about the character Raven, which is both creator and trickster. He described the stories as teaching tools.
The ways in which they are used in teaching is to think about what Raven is doing, and it's not necessarily in a positive light.
But plaintiff Brees pointed out what he believed to be references to creation in Raven stories. On the final day, Brees highlighted a website from the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, which makes a reference to the creator that blessed indigenous people with the land. The site also has a passage that includes a description of the story Raven and the Creation Story and describes it as a story about, quote, how the raven created the world. But Langdon said that he doesn't think the example was typical.
Well, it's an unusual use of the word creation from the vantage point of Western thought.
He said that the term doesn't really translate to English and raven stories aren't creation stories. They're meant to teach lessons. Rosita Worrell is the president of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. She testified that the meaning of the word creator got misinterpreted in translation.
In our culture, reverence for, you know, our creator, you know, doesn't refer to any god or any deity that we worship. That's absolutely not, you know, within our culture. Within our culture, creator could refer to multiple beings.
She said that the values need to be taught to promote healing from historical wrongs. They are necessary to openly living a traditional way of life.
We want people to learn about our culture and our values.
In closing arguments, Brees said that the district is teaching the spiritual beliefs of indigenous people.
Recognizing and rewarding students for following the 14 traditional tribal values shows the district is teaching promoting and endorsing those tribal values instead of teaching about them.
John Patasson, the attorney for the school district, argued that not every reference to a creator violates the First Amendment. He said that the values are deeply ingrained in an indigenous way of life, which has a place in public schools.
These values take on a meaning which are social and customary for these people, and it has taken on that meaning for the last 12,000 years.
Wednesday marked the end of the civil trial in Ketchikan Superior Court. Judge Catherine Librand did not give an estimated timeline for her decision, but told the courtroom she didn't expect it to take long. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
A bill that would repeal ranked choice voting in Alaska drew a lot of public opposition at a hearing in the House State Affairs Committee Tuesday. But its passage in the final days of the legislative session seems unlikely. And as Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, it's not the only repeal effort underway.
The sponsor of the repeal bill, Republican Representative Sarah Vance of Homer, says getting rid of ranked choice voting was the number one issue her constituents wanted to discuss last year.
For many years, voters have highlighted the lack of trust in our election process. Ranked choice voting has exacerbated that because it must be counted by the use of a computer using an algorithm instead of people being able to simply count and tally a vote.
Alaska voters adopted the new voting style by ballot measure in 2020. Candidates no longer compete in a partisan primary to get on the ballot. Instead, all candidates appear on the same primary ballot and the top four advance to the general, where voters have an opportunity to vote for their favorite and rank the others according to their preference. Vance presented the results of a Dittman poll showing 51% of Alaskans want to repeal ranked choice. But among nearly 50 members of the public who spoke at the hearing, the testimony ran 3-1 in support of ranked choice voting.
I think RCV is working.
Rob Welton of Douglas says he likes ranked choice and likes the results, particularly in last year's congressional election.
You look at where Peltola and Murkowski were recently elected, moderates who can reach across the aisle, and they're already decreasing the national temperature at the Congress level, which is good.
Welton says he can easily sum up his argument in favor of ranked choice.
Two words, Kathy Geisel. She's doing a great job in the Senate.
Geisel is a Republican senator from Anchorage. In 2020, she lost her Republican primary. 2 years later, with the partisan primary gone, she easily won the seat back. She's a fan of ranked choice voting, and she's now the Senate Majority Leader. That's one reason the repeal bill stands a slim chance of becoming law. Opponents of the new system often cite voter confusion, including Jan Morrison, who testified from Soldotna.
I'm having people tell me that they will never vote again if it's, quote, unquote, the funny voting.
House State Affairs Chairman Laddie Shaw, an Anchorage Republican, has scheduled another public hearing on the bill next week. Outside of the Capitol, leading opponents of ranked choice voting are putting their energy into a voter initiative. Art Mathias, a sponsor of that campaign, says they have more than half of the signatures they need to get on the ballot. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The Alaska legislature appears to be marching toward another special session to come up with a fiscal plan to balance the state's budget in the face of declining oil revenue. In a news conference Tuesday, Senate President Gary Stevens said in recent meetings, the governor indicated he would call a special session.
We've had some fruitful discussions with him. He would like to see us possibly have a special session later this year.
The Senate passed a bill earlier this week that would reduce the size of PFD payments, part of its attempt to resolve one piece of the fiscal plan. But the bill faces stiff opposition from the House, which has insisted on higher PFDs. In the House, members have introduced both a sales tax and an income tax bill, but have yet to vote on either plan. Stevens said he's waiting to see the tax proposal the governor promised.
What we're looking for from the governor is some leadership. So we know where what bills he may have. We've been hearing about a sales tax bill. It hasn't materialized yet for the last 3 weeks. We're anxious to see that.
Governor Mike Dunleavy said last week that he would introduce a sales tax proposal in the coming days and indicated it might take a special session to come up with a fiscal plan. On Tuesday, his office didn't answer questions about when it would introduce its tax proposal. According to the Alaska Constitution, the governor can call a special session up to 30 days after the regular session ends on May 17th.